Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, April 9th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others on page 89. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, "Perhaps you're not acquainted," and ends, "To be helpful is our only aim." Today's readers, for the 12 steps, Sandy K., the 12 traditions, Victoria L., readers of the text, Sigrid F. and Craig F. Our newcomer greeter is Lillian P. Our second hour host is Ann A. And announcements will be given today by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, April 8th, 2025, a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,324. That's 22324. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,325. That's 22325. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sandy K. to please read the 12 steps. Sandy, press star one.
Thank you. This is Sandy K. calling from Florida. I am recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Sandy K. And I'll now ask Victoria L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. This is Victoria L., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater living in Muncie, Indiana. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Victoria L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 89, the third paragraph that begins, perhaps you are not acquainted, through that one paragraph which ends, to be helpful is our only aim. And I'll now ask Sigrid F. to get us started.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sigrid F., recovered in South Florida. Okay. Sorry about that. The paragraph is, perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. They'll be only too glad to assist you. Don't start out as an evangelist or a reformer. Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice exists. You will be handicapped if you arouse it. Ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. Yeah, as I unpack this paragraph, you know, I feel like contacting compulsive overeaters is a little bit different from how it lays out here as alcoholics, although I have given doctors pamphlets about OA, but I'll tell you, I've never gotten a call that way. But the way that I think I've found most people is just in daily life. I can attend meetings. People are there, hopefully looking for a solution. But there are other ways, too, and I'll talk about that in a minute. When I do talk to somebody and just show, you know, that I could be a potential sponsor at a meeting, I've found that God will pair me with those that she wants me to work with. But regardless of how somebody might come to me, I know I can't be the evangelist or reformer, right? I can't tell somebody, this is the news, do it this way. Because really, I mean, my addiction wants me to be self-sufficient, right? It wants me to be able to solve all my own problems and believe that I can be normal. So if someone came to me a long time ago with, oh, just do it this way, I would have been like, no, I can do it myself. I would have just rejected it. But what is attractive is telling stories, right? Some of them are funny, some of them are sad, but who I used to be like is compelling. The chaos between the ears, the anxiety I used to feel, the excess food I used to eat, it's all very real to someone who's been doing this over and over again, who's been on that yo-yo like I was. And then when I talk about today and I share how I think today and what my body looks like today and how I eat pretty comfortably today, then, you know, people notice. They notice the miracle. I think even, yes, they notice the weight loss, but I think even more than that, what people notice is when you're calm between the ears, that you don't have the chaos, that you're not holding on to resentments, that you're living in a more peaceful life. And that's really attractive. So there's really no need to proselytize, right? It doesn't work. And it also is not going to work. And the other way is attractive. So the last thing I would say about this, I'll finish up with this. The last thing I would say is to be helpful is our only aim, right? And some people just aren't interested, regardless of your story, and then you need to let it go, because either I'm not the right person or they aren't ready. And it all happens in God's time for each person. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sigrid F. from Florida, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day, in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you have shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Christina J.
Christina?
M, North Carolina.
Ann?
Trisha D., Georgia.
Roy C., South Jersey.
Roy? Anybody else? I have Christina J., Ann M., Trisha D., Roy C., and?
LCM, Pennsylvania.
Kelsey, did you say?
Elsie. E-L-S-I-E.
Oh, Elsie. Thank you, Elsie. LCM. Okay, great start. Christina J., Ann M., Trisha D., Roy C., and LCM. Christina J., you're up, followed by Ann M. Good morning.
Morning there. Hope you're doing all right. This is Christina J. in North Carolina. I didn't really want to go first, but there it was, the pause, and so here I am. What really stuck out to me before I even heard the paragraph was the last sentence, to be helpful is our only aim. This process, if you're new in here, gets you to this point where you want to be helpful. Not only to people in program that are suffering deeply in the disease that possibly you know so much about, and so do I, but to people in the world who are all suffering on some level, even if they look happy, even if they're the most egotistical, high, mighty businessman in the world, they're suffering on some level. We don't know what's behind the curtains. To be helpful is my only aim, is to walk this path of recovery every day, to be an example of how God would have me do and be in the world, to learn how to separate from the craziness in my head so that if someone comes at me, I don't take it personally, and I can be an example of calm response, and I'm healing in the process. So I get to practice every day with everybody that comes along my path, and I can be and do as God would have me be and do. He will bring the people into my path that I need to help. And I don't have to, as the first speaker said, get on the mountain and, you know, shout it to the world. If God wants me to do that, I'll do it. But I shout within my own being in that calm place of just being. And when I'm working with someone else, you know, I let God guide. I don't have to convince them of anything. As many have said hundreds of times on this line, the dis-ease convinces all of us because we've tried to do it on our own multiple ways. And finally, we're at this doorway and we're like, there's nothing else out there I can do. Oh, but there's that new diet drug. Why don't you try that? Your mind says, haven't we gone those roads before? Because it's not about the diet or the food. This program, for those that are new and for us that keep learning about it, is to clean up the soul, to clean up the mind, to clean up the pain in our hearts from wounds so that we can walk forward free and clear and be loving and kind and compassionate to others that are still in those places of suffering. That, to me, is what this is about. How can I be of service today, every minute of the day? Be present, be aware, stay out of the gyrations of my head, you know, that cage of fear and all that stuff. To be helpful is my only aim, is a place we come to after walking these steps, because we want to give what we've been given so freely. We've been given it freely. We had to do some work. We can't sit around and pray. We have to actually take action. And it's a wonderful process. This is what I'm preaching today. It's a wonderful process. And the inner child will balk and want to go back to the food, but keep on the steps. Keep walking forward, and you'll get to this place where your heart will bust open when you help someone else, when you're loving and kind and compassionate to someone who's in pain, and they grasp your hand and you walk the road together. Thank you all. I pass. Time.
Thank you, Christina J. and Ann M., you're up, followed by Tricia D.
Good morning, all. This is Ann M., grateful, recovering in North Carolina also, and so glad to be here this morning. Yeah, I also, to be helpful is our only aim. My recovery, I've been in OA for 15 years, been program 15 years, almost 16 actually. And it's in two phases because I had a big relapse about 4 years ago. And in the first phase, I had some good recovery, but didn't have a really good spiritual solution. And I credited myself with a lot of the work that I was doing. And so I was out kind of proselytizing and spreading the word, but I was also doing it from a place of me, 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 and not being nearly as effective as I could have been. And then I relapsed. And I can genuinely say that I am grateful for my relapse because it taught me so much about this disease. It taught me so much about recovery. It led me to a new sponsor and a new approach to recovery through the Big Book, which has also led me to a strong spiritual recovery. And a new phase of my development, which realizes that the God of my understanding is doing all the work. And I'm a conduit for that. So in my helpfulness to others, and I am still helpful to others, I am, in fact, I think more helpful to others because I recognize that I am this conduit for the energy of the spirit of love that runs through this world. in a way that I didn't have before. And I work my program in a much different way. And so I'm sponsoring, but I'm also making outreach calls. I'm also taking 10th step calls and making those calls and being helpful in ways that I couldn't do prior to my relapse. With that, I pass and wish everybody a really good day. Thanks.
Thank you, Ann M. from North Carolina. And Tricia D., you're up, followed by Roy C.
Good morning. This is Tricia D., a compulsive overeater from, I live outside Athens, Georgia. This paragraph this morning, you know, just what came to my mind as I started, you know, listening to all the beautiful shares already this morning, is just let God lead me. You know, it starts out with don't start out as an evangelist. You know, don't just be yourself, be authentic. What comes to my mind is about a year ago, I went to see my gastroenterologist for a procedure. And he looked at me, and I've been in the program for like, you know, almost 5 years now and really working my program and doing the action. And he looked at me and he said, what are you doing to yourself? I can see the biggest change in you. And all I had been doing was, you know, again, I had lost the weight I needed to lose. I was just sitting there being myself. And he just said, I can tell there's something different about you. And that was the open door that God gave me to talk about the program and what I had been doing. And I had another situation where I was at my daughter's house, and she was having some friends over, and lots of cocktail things, but I knew things I couldn't eat. And I took my food, my abstinent food, and went over to the side and started eating my food. And I can't tell you, a young woman came up to me and said, why do you eat like that? Why are you? And it was just like an open door that I was just doing the program, doing the action, and, you know, just standing up for myself, what I needed to do, but doing it quietly. And yet I drew people's attention. So God drew the people to me, and I didn't have to do anything but just be honest about my program. So I think this is what this paragraph says to me, is this is how we can be helpful, to just cooperate with God. What we know, you know, our medicine for me is eating my abstinent food and being faithful and just being myself and letting God do the work. But I am the message that I carry to other people. And I don't, you know, it's just like becoming the woman that God wants me to be. That's what I love about this program, is I can feel safe. I'm free to be present to other people when I'm, you know, out wherever I'm doing, because I'm following the steps. So for newcomers out there, I just encourage you to stick with the program, keep with the steps all the way to step 12. It is awesome, and it will be the biggest change in your life. Anyway, this is Tricia D. signing off. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tricia D. from Georgia. And Roy C., you're up, followed by Elsie M.
Hi, this is Roy C. from South Jersey. Good morning to everybody. And I wanted to share on this because it took me a long time to accept sponsorship from somebody else to be a sponsee. And maybe that was my first step. I listened to a lot of people about Overeaters Anonymous and was working the program my own way for a long time. And I was successful in some ways, but not consistently over a long period of time. And I listened to a couple people that said things like, don't be a pity party, you know, send a positive message about yourself, and finally accepted sponsorship and take from that sponsor examples of how I need to be a sponsor to somebody else. And that was the first big step for me. And along the way, you get to help other people. Yesterday, I saw my doctor that we talked about. I've been seeing him for 23 years now, and he noticed that I had shed some pounds and looked thinner, and I was able to talk to him about what I had done, and perhaps help him in his practice. Because that's what it's about, to help people that are interested in hearing your story and what's going on, and perhaps be of some benefit to those people. So that's all I have today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. And Elsie M., you're up. Please share with us.
Hi, my name is Elsie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I just want to share what it was like for me when somebody 12-stepped me and why she got my attention. It was a friend from another program. We had both been in AA together. And she started talking about her food. And I had never had anybody ever talk to me, or had I ever talked to anybody about what I ate. And she started sharing some of the eating behaviors and things that she had. And I was just floored, first of all, that someone was talking about this, and two, that somebody did what I did. And I didn't know anybody else did what I did. You know, I this was, you know, 20 years ago, and I was flabbergasted. But she would sprinkle it, you know, over a couple of visits, and she would just share with me, and very gently. And I would listen, and I was intrigued. And when the compulsion was down for her, and so then she offered to take me to a meeting, and she took me to meetings for the first couple of weeks or months, I'm not sure. And it really made a difference. But she was sent to me. She doesn't live in the area anymore, so I've lost contact with her. But I believe God sent her to me to teach me about OA. And all she did was share her experience, strength, and hope. And that's what I know that I'm supposed to do. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. And I'm Elsie M. from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. And we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 89, the third paragraph that begins, "Perhaps you're not acquainted," and ends, "To be helpful is our only aim." Who else would like to share this morning?
Lori G.
Lori T.
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Jessica C.
Jessica C.
Amy G.
Amy G.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Y'all are being so dear to me this morning. Thank you very much. Anybody else? I have Lori T., Lynn S., Jessica C., Amy G., and Sandy K. Anybody else? Okay, we'll come back. I'm sure we'll have time for a few more. Lori T., you're up, followed by Lynn S. Please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. It's actually Lori G., as in girl, and I'm in Colorado. And as usual, I'm nervous, but I think God wants me to share because he's been waking me up at 4 and 4:30 lately. And so it seems like a good idea to get on the live meeting. So thank you all for being here, and thank you for all your support and courage and everything. And what do I want to say? I'm not sure. my sponsor keeps encouraging me to speak up, so here I am. I'm grateful to be here. I've been coming to meetings for over 30 years now, which blows my mind. But I haven't had recovery. I haven't been able to say I'm recovered until about 8 years ago. and this the phrase "to be helpful is our only aim" really jumps out at me, because before I started getting recovery, and it was through using the Big Book, before I was using the OA literature, and I don't want to say anything negative about that. I just didn't recover until I started using this book and a sponsor who sponsored using this book. And it's like my eyes were opened or my brain was washed or something, but I started actually wanting to be of service, wanting to help. And I just wanted to share that a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to give help to some neighbors who needed it. And I felt overwhelmed with feeling like everyone around me needed my help. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't save everyone. And God reminded me, that's not my job. I'm not supposed to save everyone. I'm just supposed to be open. And I felt like I surrendered. I said, okay, God, I want to be helpful. But you know that I'm feeling overwhelmed, and just one person at a time, one thing at a time, God helped me to do what I needed to do for each person or each situation. And it was beautiful. I don't want to get into details, but every situation just sort of took care of itself, or God took care of it. And some things God helped me do, and some things he took over and somebody else helped, you know, whatever, but everything just went beautifully. And I was reminded again, I'm not in control, and it's not my job to fix everyone. I just need to be willing. So, wow, that went fast. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for everyone who does service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Lori G. from Colorado, and Lynn S., you're up, followed by Jessica C.
Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So cooperate, never criticize. What? Well, these people, they need to be straightened out. They are not doing it right. Come on, everybody, let's get on the bandwagon. Like, what is the big deal here? Why don't you just do it? That was my attitude. I've got the answer. I've got it. This is how you do it. So sit down and listen to me, and we'll just get going here. And I honestly couldn't see what was wrong with that. And I told myself, Lynn, it's because you're passionate. This program saved your life, and it really means something to you. And you know what? That's probably true. I would say that's very true, because this program did save my life, and it does mean something to me. But it was more for I couldn't stand the way I felt. I wasn't safe when people weren't doing it my way. I wasn't safe when they were coming to meetings and claiming years of recovery and not losing weight. I didn't feel safe if it didn't look right to me, if it didn't sound the way I needed it to sound. And when I had my relapse in June of 2023, I came in right when we were working, when we were doing this chapter. And I saw, you know, that people were talking about being friendly and cooperating. And I remember mocking this chapter before and saying, I sponsor all sorts of people. And I know we read that chapter and it sounds good, but I don't do any of that stuff. And when I came in, my eyes were opened. Lynn, it doesn't say working on others. It says working with others. And I heard these wonderful, amazing, strong women on the line saying, you know, be friendly to these people. Cooperate, never criticize, to be helpful. And it was like the scales had fallen from my eyes. I had never seen or heard these words this way before. And beautiful women were saying the role of the sponsor is to take their hand and put it in the hand of God. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to happen to me. And people were friendly and they did care. Were they passionate? Absolutely. Did they drag me into a corner? No, they didn't. Were they on soapboxes? No. I saw, I felt, I heard differently. I am so grateful that God sent out a search and rescue mission for me, and he brought me in when I could truly hear and see and read and be helped. And now I can help others. I am so grateful to this amazing program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Lynn S. from Canada. And Jessica C., you're up, followed by Amy G.
Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater, also in Canada, Ontario, Canada. It's so nice to follow my friend Lynn S. Yeah, this paragraph, I think I really love the idea of the spirit of being proactive in seeking out people we can sponsor, people we can help. And I really see that happening in the OA meetings that I attend today. You know, I attend a meeting on Monday nights with some local people. It's a Zoom meeting. And whenever a newcomer shows up, you know, we're kind of all over summer and we're excited. And, you know, like we're just sort of falling all over each other to help this person. And it's just, I just love that. And, you know, this idea as well. Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention, you know, working with doctors, ministers, priests. I actually found out about OA through my family doctor when I was a teenager in the 90s, when he gave me some pamphlets on OA. And I could tell that he had had these pamphlets for quite some time because the color scheme and the design was from the 1970s. So, you know, I guess as an addict, like if I want instant results, like if I'm going to do some outreach about OA, I want like a good return on my investment. I want it to happen quickly, but I guess that's not how God always works. And sometimes it takes longer, but whoever brought that pamphlet to my doctor, you mean, and my doctor passed it on to me. I mean, that was life changing for me. And this idea of being an evangelist or a reformer, you know, it to me, the spirit of that is that I am not trying to control and change people when I'm sponsoring or working with people in the program. I'm just here to be helpful. You know, that's such a helpful principle in OA and when working with others, but also in all parts of my life. You know, for many years, I didn't understand why people had a problem with me and thought that I wasn't helpful or nice, because I saw myself as a really nice, helpful person. But in doing the step work in this recovery, I discovered this spirit of judgment and criticism that was underneath so much of my, you know, how I operated in the world. And, you know, the truth was, is, you know, I wanted to control to get my needs met. You know, I want to judge and be critical so that I can feel superior. But that's all lies. Like the truth is that when I'm helpful, when I'm seeking only to be helpful, when I'm letting go of that criticism and looking for the good in people, I feel so much better about myself and my relationships are so much better. And life keeps getting better and better and more expansive instead of constricting and getting smaller when I'm trying to control. So yeah, that's all I had to share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Jessica C. And Amy G., you're up, followed by Sandy K.
Good morning. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you, everyone, for such a wonderful meeting. When I read about this idea of being helpful as our only aim, I have to sneak forward to page 102, where it says, my job is now to be at the place where I can be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can. and to further on down, keep on the firing line of life. These motives keep you unharmed. God will keep you unharmed. And this whole idea of helpfulness, of course, is threaded throughout this entire chapter. And I love the fact that it's saying to be helpful is our only aim, not to fix others is our only aim, or to help others so I can feel better, or to have a certain outcome is going to make me feel better, or to have everyone do exactly what I say, like others have said already. I think the idea of being helpful means that I do something without motive. And that's what this program is teaching me, is to be able to serve others without motive. And in doing so, I become better. And I learn how to be closer to my God and leave the results to my God as well. And that is something that was new and different to me, to have a purpose where my experience, strength, and hope, what it was like, right? My recovery story could actually have purpose and be helpful to other people. How incredible was that? And I understand why Bill was saying, don't be an evangelist, because when this program saves our lives, Why wouldn't I want to go out there and shout it from the rooftops to say, we have a way out. We have a way out. There is hope. There is recovery. There is a way to become recovered. But I have to also remember that I speak only from my experience. I can be a message carrier, a life transformer. I don't know when it comes to what it will be like when I sponsor someone, whether I'll be with them a day, a month, or years. That's God's job to decide that. My job is to be on the firing line of helpfulness and be available or search out if I'm not sponsoring someone, because I should be if I am recovered. I can't imagine not having that be an option, but to be out there and be of service so that I can carry the message that is in this book, these first 164 pages, these 12 steps. What an incredible purpose to have now. I never thought that I would have any kind of purpose. And now that I do, I can't imagine not having it. And without a pass, thanks.
Thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. And Sandy K., please share with us.
This is Sandy K., recovering in Florida. Thank you so much for the service to everyone. Working with others, it's changed over the years. When I first got into program, I don't know how many years, but when I first got into the program, the first number of years, I was like gray sheet, which is very rigid. And I was very rigid because that's how my sponsor gave me the program. Over the years, I've become a little bit less rigid. I mean, certainly I don't give anyone a food plan anymore. I ask them to talk to a nutritionist. I do ask them to give me their food for the first month, just so I can see what they're eating and if there's any red flags. And of course, they have to be willing to do that. So for today, many years later, I sponsor the way I only know how to sponsor, and that's by being able to give my experience. If somebody comes to me and they're not going to follow what I suggest, which is okay because there's a lot of different kinds of sponsors, and I will tell somebody I may not be the right sponsor for you, but if they're not going to follow the way I do it and how I got it, then I cannot share my extensive experience with recovery, slips, and relapse. So that's a big change in me.
Sandy K., are you still there? We lost you.
Well, okay.
Oh, there you are.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that was. All right. So what really changed for me is I never told anyone I was in program. Like, I would be out with a group of people and I would eat the way I'm supposed to eat, or for me, but I just never was share my program with anyone. I would never admit I was in program. I think part of it was shame. Then I was on a plane a few years ago, going to World Service. I think it was before COVID. And I was sitting next to a young lady who I told I was in program, she didn't look like she needed it, but she said, why are you going to Albuquerque? And I told her why, and that was it. When I got, and that was like a first for me. Then when I got to Albuquerque, there was a woman who shared on this chapter, and she said she tells everyone she's in program because even if they don't know it, you need it. Somebody else they know could use it that never heard of it before. So now I can't say I'm completely open, but I'm more open now to tell people I'm in program because I never know who they know who my words could help. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy Kay. And we are on page 89, the third paragraph that begins, perhaps you're not acquainted, and ends, to be helpful is our only aim. And it looks like we have time for at least three more, perhaps four shares. Who else?
Hi, this is Charles H.
Charles.
Aaron K.
Aaron.
Mahama G.
Somebody C. Mahama.
Mahama G.
With an
like, good.
Oh, G. Okay. All right. Okay, let's go with Charles H., Aaron K., and Nahama G. Was there one other person that wanted to get on?
If there's time, Janice P.M. follow this group.
Okay, Janice, I'll put you on there.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Charles H., you're up, followed by Aaron K.
Thank you very much, moderator, for your service. I'm Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. And this is a great paragraph. It's a humbling one, too, because you know, prior to, right, I wanted to be popular in a mental illness program, but now I just want to be helpful. I mean, and so if someone is desperate, Boo-Boo Kid will sponsor them and they will recover and be a great, you know, sponsor. And if someone is not ready, I don't care who you are, how good you sound on the podcast, how much time you shared on Vision or you know, other strong meetings, you're not, we don't have the power. The family afterwards, that chapter says we have the power to help people. And, you know, if I'm, you know, I could be shaking it. I could be talking about it from the rooftops of the Rocky Mountain, my favorite state, Colorado. I could be shouting it down like with the greatest OA cheerleader. And that might not turn the trick. Like the trick is, yo, you know what? This disease played me out of position, and I am desperate. I think willingness, we hear this a lot, which we need to hear it a lot. Well, I need to hear it a lot. Willingness is overrated. I don't like going to work on Mondays or any other day to that point, but you know what? Them bills don't care what I like. Same thing. The disease don't care what I like. So, you know what? Everybody has their personality, and, you know, the steps – Not even just the steps. The steps to the traditions and the concepts will level me down. Active in my life first, like I have to put the oxygen mask on first in order to breathe, and to help others is my only aim. You know what? I have sponsees and names. I have many sponsees and names. And just because I'm Charles H. or think who I am, I don't have the power to make them recover. I have the power to help them, like it says in the family afterward. So with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles H. And Aaron K., you're up, followed by Nahama G.
Good morning, Lisa. Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. This paragraph has a couple of nuggets, especially that very last sentence, which I think about all the time, whenever I feel myself starting to, you know, get critical in my head or attached to, you know, what I think should happen in someone else's life, especially a sponsee.
Hey.
But I also really like that uniquely useful. And I'm thinking about, you know, what is unique about our utility, the help that I offer. And I think it's because, you know, when I call somebody who's hurting, I both have their disease and a treatment that works. And it works for me, I know that. And I believe that if it worked for me and someone has my same disease, that it can work for them too. But I don't have a monopoly. Evangelists and reformers believe there's only one way to do things, and their job basically, or their view of their job is to get others to fall in line with that. And I always have to remember, like, you know, truly I to come from a place of humility of, I know for me, I'm an expert on my own experience, but I don't know for you. And, you know, I have to stay in that humble place and never cooperate, judge, criticize. And from that position of humility, God's able to use me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Erin K., and sorry for that little disruption in the background. Nahama G., you're up, followed by Janice P.M. Nahama, I think I got that right. Star one, we can't hear you.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know I got automatically muted. Okay, thank you so much for your service and for allowing me to share. The spirit of some of the shares is just like so beautiful, and so I want to say I'm actually surprised that I came back to the meeting. Yesterday I wouldn't even go near it. About a week ago, I came back to visions. Was here years ago because I wanted to go through the steps in a clean way. I have, by God's grace, recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body with regard to my food. But other areas of my life, I knew I needed help. And I just love hearing the message of being of service, of being of selfless service, of surrendering to my higher power and praying for direction and guidance. Sometimes there was a time I reached out to this man in Whole Foods. He was about 500 pounds, and oh my God, his wife came at me like a lion, like a vicious lion. My intentions were good, but so now I pray for direction and guidance before I speak, you know, as much as I can remember. I'm sharing because I have a lot of pain in my heart and I want to let it go and move on. After my first meeting, I got a call from this woman who offered to sponsor me. And I was very delighted. And each day that we spoke, I opened up my heart a little bit more and felt like this bond. You know how it is. I mean, for me, you know, with a sponsor, it's a little bit of a mommy kind of situation, I guess. I don't know. But she texted me the day before yesterday saying that she didn't think we were a good fit. And, you know, there was no discussion, there was no like warning, and you know, and I what I want to say is that it would be more of a kind thing, more of a healthy thing to speak to your, if you don't want to work with a sponsee, to speak to them and, you know, talk to them in person, you know, rather than just send a text and so abruptly, you know, without conversation or warning or anything.
I didn't defy anything she asked me to do. You know, it wasn't anything like that. So I don't even know what it was. But anyway, thank you so much for letting me share that. And I'm really grateful that my higher power directed and guided me to come back. Thank you. I'll mute.
Thank you, Nahama G, for sharing. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Janice PM, I hope you'll hang around for the next unrecorded hour. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, April the 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,331. That's 22331. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Craig F., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and to keep you until then.
I will. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.